Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
When I do premarital counseling, there is one question that I ask that those who know me realize the question is coming. In fact, I will warn them. But the young people who go through my premarital counseling have all informed each other of the question.
What's and that question?
It is a difficult question to ask, but even more difficult to answer. And basically, I ask the question something like this. I know that in the course of your relationship, because you love each other, you have found ways to express that love in physical ways. I want to know to what extent.
How physical was it?
Yeah, how physical have you become with this? And basically, the question is a question about premarital sex. And the reason that I ask that is because the presence of or absence of premarital sex in a relationship actually has a direct bearing on the success or failure of the relationship. We've got 30 years worth of research that demonstrate this. And so if indeed they have, I want to make sure that they know they're forgiven and that we can find ways to work around this and to make sure that their marriage lasts. One couple in particular I asked this question of, and I warned them that I was going to ask it. And after they answered the question truthfully, they said, you know, we have made a mistake here. We have expressed this love in too physical a fashion. We have engaged in premarital sex. And I rushed ahead to tell them about the forgiveness of God and about his ability to bless them in spite of that, as long as they have confessed this before them. And in tears, they both told me, that is the question we had for you. Can God still bless our marriage in spite of the fact that we have made this mistake together? And the answer is a resounding, absolutely yes.
Well, and where do you get that answer from?
I get that answer actually from today's story.
Oh, I see. You know, it's funny that you say that because the same thing happened to me. I had a young woman who actually came and asked me this very thing. Can God bless me with a good marriage in spite of the fact that I haven't done God's way?
Yeah.
And I told him also the story of David and Bathsheba, which is the story that we're going to speak of today. And actually, we've done two programs on this whole process of David covering his sin and then being exposed of his sin and then forgiven.
Having the sin covered by the blood of Jesus.
That's right. And then the fact that he had some consequences to this. And then we get to this very strange two verses. You know, I think parents have a hard time with this one. I mean, we try to teach our children, you know, that there's consequences to the things that you do, that, you know, you need to learn that. And it looks like, well, they get the consequence of their child dying. But then you get these two verses. It seems that God could have chosen somebody else to bless them in this manner. And he chooses them. And I think that he's making a point with this.
He's making a very important point. This is an issue, I think, that a lot of people have struggled with, even a lot of churches have struggled with, and we have neglected, I think, the lesson of this particular story. And that is found in, again, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba and went into her and lay with her, and she gave birth to a son, and he named him Solomon. Now the Lord loved him and sent word through Nathan the prophet, and he named him Jedidiah for the Lord's sake.
Now, Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord. Of course, Solomon's name was Solomon. But, you know, they had names that had to do with the roles they were playing, things like that. And in this case, they also name him beloved of the Lord. I love that name. I usually talk about that being my own name, that God loves me, then I'm Jedidiah too.
But that's true for all of us, isn't it? I mean, everyone who's listening to this program today is Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. And that's God's message to you, regardless of the circumstances of your life.
Yeah, this is one of the hard things to understand of the grace of God. How could God bless this marriage? I mean, you know, they did everything wrong.
You could not start a marriage under worse circumstances than adultery, murder, you know, hiding the sin, on and on it goes.
Yes, yes. And here, God is going to bless them with a particular son, but it's not just a son.
No.
This is the King of Israel that will be known throughout the ages as the wisest man that has ever lived.
Yeah, and you think about this. I mean, David had other wives and older sons who might have had a stronger claim to the throne, but
he
did not choose any of them. They were not the ones who were to sit on the throne. It was this son from this wife, Bathsheba.
Yeah, it's like God could have chosen another wife.
Yes.
Just to make the point that the one that they started wrong with, he couldn't bless. But he chooses to make the opposite point.
Yeah.
That he will bless this very marriage that has started wrong.
You talk about a tribute to God's grace. This story is it.
Yes.
It is it. I mean, because, you know, if indeed you believe in a God of vengeance and justice, which, I mean, he is a God of justice, no doubt, but still, he would not choose this woman to father, to mother Solomon.
Absolutely.
And also then to be the one through whose line the Messiah would come.
Yes, and this is one of the things, one of the points we're going to make today, that Jesus has quite a few people in his genealogy that make this very point.
That family tree is an interesting one.
Yeah, you know, Solomon actually not only is the king that will be known as the wisest king, during his reign, as we have mentioned before, the geography of God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15 is fulfilled because God had told Abraham that he would have the land from Egypt to the river Euphrates. And it's only under Solomon's reign that this large geographical area is taken by Israel. Mm-hmm. But also God promises something very interesting about Solomon that he did not promised to David during his reign, and that is registered in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 9.
Behold, a son will be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days.
Solomon was not a warrior. He was a prosperous king, the most prosperous of all of Israel, where people would come from all over the world to see his richness and his wisdom. This was the only period, really, in the life of the kingdoms of Israel. Mm-hmm. In this case, they're still unified, where there will be actually peace and quiet from enemies all over the world.
That is an amazing thing, because the entire history of Israel has been one of being persecuted by the nations around her, certainly throughout the biblical times, a tiny nation who seems to be defenseless, and God would have to come to her rescue in order to keep her from being wiped off the face of the earth. But during this time, those borders were expanded to the promised limits, and Solomon creates a time of peace and prosperity because God has promised this.
So this is a very special son that God gives David and Bathsheba.
To this particular relationship.
To this particular relationship, and this is why we called this today's topic Failing Forward, because they had a failure together.
Oh, yeah.
And still God was able to work out this incredible blessing through this marriage, so much so that it gets into the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. We only have four women in the genealogy of Jesus, and all of them are strange stories.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is one of them, and it's found in actually verse 6 of chapter 1.
And just before that, we've got Rahab, which is an interesting story in itself. But
yes.
Verse 6, Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. I mean, we throw it in right there. I want you to know why this is important.
Yes, and it's funny because Matthew, could have kind of put it under the rug just in case somebody didn't know who Bathsheba was. Mm-hmm. But it says here, this was Bathsheba. Yes, the very one you're thinking, the one that had been the wife of Uriah.
And even then, he didn't have to mention the wife. I mean, this is the son of David, period. Let it go with that.
Yeah,
but no,
correct.
He mentions the wife and then gives a note about who she is and why this is significant.
Yes, and I think every one of the four women in the genealogy of Jesus actually brings something about who he is and his mission.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, we are told a lot about David and how God was able to bless him in spite of this because he had forgiven and covered his sin. Romans chapter 4, which is a chapter on justification by faith, is saying this is the way we're justified in front of God. This is a gift of grace because, says chapter 3, verse 23 all the way to 26, because God put all the sins that belong to us on his son, and therefore he can bless us on that account. And so then he gives Old Testament examples of that.
And one of these are found in verse 6 of Romans chapter 4. It says, just as David also speaks of the blessings on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account.
Now he knows this because he is now blessed And these are actually words from Psalm 32 that we already went over with you in previous programs. But see, this is the blessedness of being called righteous, even though at one point we all know you were not. Mm-hmm. Or in this case, he knows he was not. And this is the justification by faith theology that says that you are called just and righteous, even though you are not.
The scripture tells us that there is none who is righteous, no, not one. And apart from the goodness and the grace of God, that is true. All of us are sinners. We have fallen short of the glory of God. Solomon, his story with David and Bathsheba is an example of this. But when we are covered by the blood of Jesus, we are now righteous in his eyes.
And the importance of understanding that this is the gift from God gives us the ability to fail forward, so that if you have something in your past that looks like David's life,
right,
that you may know that God can bless you from this day forward. It's not that you're doomed. If your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb, he can still use you in mighty, mighty ways.
David's story tells us that you cannot commit a sin so big that God cannot forgive you, and so big that God cannot use you or bless you. Regardless of your past, regardless of your sin, regardless of the guilt and shame you carry, there is forgiveness for you, and God can use you.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.